You know what time it is. It's time for Rating the Nerd.
Minisode.
With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grading the Nerd. It's time for another minisode. We are talking today about episode 3 of The Book of Boba Fett. And once again, it's two Tims, one Zach. Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Howdy.
For those of you who may have missed out on the last week's Boba Fett episode, we're joined by our buddy Tim Hall, who is a massive Boba Fett fan, so we thought that he might bring some light side to the dark side that is Zach's opinion of Star Wars and my opinion of Boba Fett.
big Boba Fett fan.
Yeah, yeah, you've got Boba ink, right? I don't know if we talked about that on the last episode or not.
Yeah, my first tattoo was a picture that I drew of Boba Fett.
Nice, that's awesome. That's a picture you drew?
Yeah, I drew it, and then I got a tattoo artist that I use is very talented, so he enhanced the color a little bit.
Okay. No, that's awesome. I mean, I've seen the tattoo. I just didn't know you drew it. That's fantastic, man.
Yes, I fancy myself an artist.
Nice. Nice.
And sometimes I do.
It's Boba Fett. It's a picture of Boba Fett bending over to pick up a dollar, thus avoiding gunfire, right?
And looking back.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so episode 3, I forget what it was even called. What was the title of this episode?
Streets of Mos Espa, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. Okay, cool. So let's just get into it. Zach, I think you wrote up a synopsis to kind of, I don't know. I don't like Manifesto. I don't know if I like Rant. Maybe Angry Parent at a PTA Meeting. Let's try that.
All right. We open the show with a desperate plea from Milton about a stapler. Lortha Peel, the local watermonger, who pleads with Fett to deal with some thieves who are stealing water in exchange for double his usual tribute. Jump cut to the workers' district. Fett shambles up to a group of what I'm going to call cyberpunks. A group of young people with augmented body parts from droids. He's then met with some hostility from Alita Battle Angel, Drash. Everyone's new favorite Star Wars character, I'm certain of it. Drash is a plucky, half-robo girl with attitude. She looks cool and has done arguably nothing so far, so I'm sure the fans will die by the sword for her like they do for Boba Fett. After a short argument, Pastor Fett rounds up the youths in the church van and gives them all jobs, and promptly tells Lortha to unfuck his water prices. Cut to flashback. Fett goes to collect payment from the Pikes for the Tuskens. While he's gone, the Tuskens get fucked. By the way, I called that last episode. I don't know if anybody remembers that. I figured something terrible was going to happen.
You did.
And yeah, it did. But anyway, flash forward to the present, where Fett's ripped from the Bacta tank like an overdone hot dog, and then beaten senseless by Chrysanthemum, or whatever his name is. Did I mention that he gets his ass handed to him by this guy? I mean, really, the man bear beats him silly. If the cyberpunks didn't come in and try to save his ass and pull away this guy, he would have died for sure, and we all would have been better for it. But anyway, the fight gets dragged out into what I guess is the living room. This is where Shand pops in and takes the opportunity to drop someone else into the Rancor pit. I mean, she really likes that trapdoor, doesn't she? It's probably your best move. The Hutts show up the next morning and Fett greets them with his prisoner, Chrysler Tum Tum. And for some reason that I still don't really understand, the Hutts apologize to him and give him a Rancor, complete with Danny Trejo accessories. The Hutts say that the mayor has fucked everyone and they decide to leave for Nal Hadda. Shortly after, Fett spells out his Rancor riding kink to the trainer and is interrupted by Matt Berry. It seems the mayor is dodging his calls. Jump cut to the mayor's office. Shand threatens the majordomo and he leaves the scene on a speeder. The cyberpunks take chase in what I can only describe as space Vespas, I guess. After a lot of crashing and wrecking shit, Fett shows up with the others, and the Majordomo spills the beans. The mayor's doing business with the Pikes. Cut to a giant ship landing in Mos Espa. One of the cyberpunks, we'll call him Cyclops for obvious reasons, is spying on the landing site for Fett. Cyclops reports back to the Sand Palace. A large group of Pikes have a ride, and Fett is prepared to go to war.
Nice. Yeah. Nicely done. It is funny, because that's what you said, Vespas. I was watching, I was like, is this Space Luca? What are we watching?
Yeah, my wife has always wanted to join a Vespa band, a Vespa gang, so she liked that part a lot.
Oh, yeah. She's always wanted to join a Vespa gang.
Yeah, that was the whole conversation around that.
That's hilarious. Yeah, yeah.
The bright colors on the backdrop of the dingy Mos Espa,
yeah,
really fit in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was like, when I saw that, I was like, you know, maybe it's just different. Like, at first I thought it was Earth because, like, we just invaded, like, somebody just invaded a sand place and murdered all the people there. And then I was like, well, no, this can't be Earth because on Earth, chrome and black and leather is tough. But here, you know, brightly colored Italian scooters without wheels are. But yeah, it was that was definitely jarring. That was probably the most ridiculous part of the episode to me was the primary color bikes.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I know where they were going with it. Like, in that backdrop, they were, you know, people saw them coming because of the bright colors of their Vespas.
Sure.
I didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't work for me.
Right, yeah. That's funny. Yeah, how Back to the Future was that bike chase though?
that's a great analogy. It was the only thing it was missing was a truck of manure.
Yeah, but a truck of space pomegranates fell on him instead.
Yep.
Same way, he skidded into it and they just dumped into the inside and it was like wah, wah.
I will say that ending that with, you know, Fett dropping down in front of him was more like the Boba Fett that I think everyone's looking for, where, you know, he's like that's kind of a jarring, fearsome. I do think this episode is starting to get him back to being, you know, feared more than respected. So, well, I mean, and if he pulls off the fear thing, people will respect
him. Yeah, yeah. But I did think that though, because so it was funny because in our Star Wars role playing game that we play in, Tim, you're currently GMing, but your character is a heavily augmented with droid parts human.
Yeah, I gotta get those advantages.
Yeah, and so one of the guys that we play with after watching this episode was like, my favorite part was when they yelled out Yarlo, which is your character's name. And I was like, what? And then I watched it and I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like go gadget leg, pants leg, go gadget, yeah, pants leg.
Right, yeah. Which is so funny. It is hilarious because now that since we started playing the RPG, I see in this, like, I was just like, oh man, they're bringing out all the greatest hits. Like, there's Vibro Knuckles and there's,
yep,
you know, like, I was like, they just went through the RPG handbook and were like, ooh, that's a cool weapon. Gaffy stick. Nobody uses those. Put that in here. You know? Yeah. So I don't know, man. What else do you want to, like, what jumped out at you, Zach, as being particularly, I mean, you kind of went over it, but what jumped out to you as being particularly egregious?
I mean, nothing crazy. Like, nothing really, like, got under my skin this episode.
Okay.
I kind of liked the chase scene. It was just different than what, yeah, I'm used to.
Yeah.
The colors of the bikes do stand out a little bit too much. Like, I know, like, I agree that the whole point is to, like, see them coming. And, like, they make an entrance. But, like, it just seems unlikely that they would have got somebody to paint their bikes that way and like anywhere on Tatooine where everything looks like it's at least 50-year-old technology. It's right. Covered in, yeah, dirt and like caked, yeah, in dust.
Who the fuck has royal blue paint available?
Yeah, the thing, like, as soon as they rolled in with the Rancor, I was like, they got a fucking Rancor finally. Because, I mean, who would have waited that long after that Rancor died in,
right,
Return, yeah, of the Jedi to get another Rancor? That's like the first thing you do. oh, our Rancor died. What do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go out and collect some money. Now you're going to go buy a fucking Rancor.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. If I ever owned a Rancor and then suddenly didn't, that would be my, like, I would be like, that's what the swear jar money is going toward.
Right.
Down payment on a new one, you know?
You never come back from owning a Rancor.
That's right. You have a Rancor. Right.
You're going to continually own Rancors.
Yeah. And once you go Rancor, you always want more. That's right. What I've heard is said.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, you haven't? I think it's Boba Fett has a tramp stamp of it, I think.
Oh.
Nice. Now, I did like that. So I do have a question. Tim, you're obviously better steeped in Star Wars lore than I am. Is the Rancor imprinting on a person like it's Jacob from the last Twilight movie a thing?
I've never heard of that before. As a matter of fact.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
I kind of felt like that was like they gave all this culture to the Tusken Raiders. Now they're going to do the same thing with the Rancor. I kind of liked that a little bit, but at the same time, I thought maybe that was pushing it a little too far. Let's just, Rancor doesn't need a backstory. Let's just let him tear things up. But
right. Yeah. Yeah. He's a big monster, right?
But I will say that, if Boba Fett gets back to the, you know, the fear-based character where everybody's intimidated by him, and then he shows up riding on a Rancor, that's going to be pretty badass.
Yeah, that would be cool. And they mentioned that the Night Sisters of Dathomir used to ride them around. Is that in any of the stuff that you've read or anything? Because, I mean, in our game, we've encountered some Night Sister lore, and I know that they come from, like, the Rancor are indigenous to Dathomir. So I can flex that nerd muscle a little bit, but...
yeah, so there's a story arc with the Night Sisters in either Rebels or Clone Wars. I think it's Clone Wars. Which, the animated series, I've not really gotten into. Like, I like my Star Wars like real life, if that makes sense. I know it's fiction. I know it's fiction. It didn't really happen a long time ago. But,
what?
And this actually, when I'm talking to other Star Wars fans, kind of pisses them off, but I've had a hard time getting into the animated series, but I think that it wouldn't surprise me if that's in whichever one of those animated series.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I thought that was weird, though. Also, I thought it was a little weird that, like you said, that the Rancor imprints on people. I was like, they're wild animals. Like I almost wanted that scene to go down where, like, he uncaps his eyes and he sees Boba Fett and, like, attacks him and Boba has to fight him off. You know? Yeah. Like, I was like, that would have been awesome. Like, he has to fight him off and then he's like, fuck you, you're fired, Danny Trejo.
Or it was just a setup by
the Hutts.
By the Hutts, yeah. Like,
yeah, that would have been awesome.
Black Crescent couldn't take him out, so they're going to send
him to the. You did talk last week about hoping that we got to see Black Crescenton doing kind of more badass stuff, and boy did he in this one. He was pretty fearsome, man. Like, he got stabbed about a baker's dozen times and was still fighting unfettered.
Yeah, that's how he is in the comics. That's the version of him I wanted to see in this. But what I thought was funny is no one was calling him Black Crescenton. It was like, Crescenton did this. It's like,
he's credited as Black Crescenton on IMDb.
Is he? That's awesome.
He is.
And that's the name of the character.
But okay, so the bikers, I'm trying to like the bikers because I like me some cyberpunk stuff. I like me some enhanced humans. But man, when they came to help Fett out in his bath chamber, boy, did they come skipping in there like they were straight out of West Side Story. They were all like leaping. Yeah, like snapping, leaping down the stairs and like, whoa, I got a knife. I'm like, dude, this is like a 7.5 foot tall bear man in front of you with spikes all over him. And you got a switchblade. Get the fuck out of here.
Bring a cannon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, there's no other weapons in this place. One of you drive your little Vespa around him and see if you can distract him with the pretty colors.
Play some music.
Well, they were able to fight him off for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. They were actually able to fight him off for a little bit.
More than I can say for Grandpa Fett.
Yeah, he was tossing people around like the fucking kingpin, though, man. He was just, like, throwing people across the room. I was like, damn! But, Also, that we got to see the another thing from the RPG. We got to see the Wookiee's bite attack on the Gamorrean. Yeah, I was like, oh, get him!
Never actually got to see a Wookiee bite anything before.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. He's my favorite character in the this series so far.
He's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He's probably my second favorite.
So, what other characters in the Star Wars live-action franchise have been introduced from the comics, besides him?
Aurra Sing. I think she was... that wasn't necessarily from the comics. It was from the novels, I think. And then she was, ended up in the comic books, too. That's the only one I can think of right now.
Oh, really? Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
I know there are others. I just can't think of them. But
yeah, I was going to say, I'm not steeped enough in the comics of Star Wars to know that, but that is interesting, because we talked a little bit last week about how when Disney bought the Star Wars rights, they sort of said, all this expanded universe stuff is no longer canon, and now they seem to slowly be reintroducing it through their own and making it canon once again, piece by piece.
Yeah. I like that, because for most of us, before the sequels came out, that was Star Wars. That was the majority. There's vastly more expanded universe than there were, you know, three movies and then the prequels. So, I do like that they're bringing in some of the cool stuff from that. There's a rumor. I think one of the most popular expanded universe characters is Mara Jade, and there's rumors that she's going to be in some form later on. And then Thrawn was also from the expanded universe.
Was he? Okay. So, yeah. I knew that he was in the animated stuff, but I thought you're right, though. I do remember hearing that he was in a novel, right?
Yeah.
A couple novels.
So after they decided they weren't going to make any more films, there were three novels that came out. It was the Thrawn trilogy that were supposedly the three sequels after, you know, the ones that ended up being remade by Disney. So, gotcha. he is probably the most popular, and then Mara Jade would be the second most popular. But he has not made it to the live action at all. But there's rumors that he'll be in the Ahsoka, I think.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
I do know that in Rebels, one of the main characters, Ezra, I think his name is, leaves with Grand Admiral Thrawn, because Thrawn was in that series, and that he was like the enemy, the villain. So I've heard that Ahsoka's TV show is going to be going after and finding Ezra. So obviously,
oh nice,
you would think
okay
that Thrawn would have to be in that. So I think he's going to be in the live action, but he was brought in from the expanded universe into the animated series.
Gotcha. I was going to say, I'm really excited for the Ahsoka show. She's a cool enough character, but man, I love me some Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, I think Rosario Dawson did an awesome job. Not to get off track with the Boba Fett episode, but...
Right. But yeah, I'll watch her in anything.
Yeah, I think she did a great job with Ahsoka.
Yeah. So yeah, what else do you guys want to talk about from this episode? So Zach, you did call that something horrible was going to befall the Tuskens.
Mm-hmm. It just seemed really obvious.
Yeah. I think it seemed like it, because they were finally getting their time to shine. You know, it was like, hey, look what we did. We can extort protection money now, like the mafia.
Yeah, that was the worst Tusken massacre since Anakin Skywalker.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. When he went in and murdered everybody because he hates sand.
Yep. And people who kidnap and kill his mom.
Yeah.
I don't know which was more important to him, though.
Yeah, he won't shut up about the sand.
Yep.
So
let's go to the beach. Fuck you.
Yeah. You got a bubble I can stay in? Yeah, that probably was the biggest like you said, Tusken massacre that we've seen or, you know, like know of since the prequels. Speaking of the prequels, man, I don't know if I was in a mood or what. This episode, they talked a lot about politics and like who owns what, who runs what, you know, who runs Barter Town, I was like, come on, like, just shoot something for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of going back and forth with that's what's stolen a lot of the action, like the whole disagreement with the mayor and who's running everything. I think that's what's stolen a lot of the action. That and the flashbacks to the Tusken Raiders, which obviously is over now, so we'll probably get flashbacks on how he got to where he was, getting his armor. But
yeah. Yeah. What if every episode still was just flashbacks to him just sitting alone in the Raider camp?
looking along the horizon for someone coming over.
Just him sitting with his arms on his knees, head down, head hung low, like he's on the cover of a, Panic at the Disco album or something.
Yeah, they could do a montage of him sitting like that and then digging up those water. What do you call them? Sand nuts.
Sand nuts.
Yeah. And then sitting on a rock again, and then digging up some sand nuts and sitting on a rock. It's just a montage, like a 5-minute montage of that, and it goes back to the back of the tank.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Really, the only thing that I had to make fun of in this was how no one would call him Black Chrysanthemum. They just call him Chrysanthemum. And then the Vespa gang that was, I mean, it kind of seems like they're going to be badasses, but the fact that they ride literal scooters that are, Skittle colored. Just
right.
Kind of blew me away. Like, what are you doing? I mean, I think that would have been perfectly pulled off if they would have been riding like swoops or the speeder bikes, like just regular Star Wars things that we've seen before, and not try to make them stand out like that. I don't know what the point of it was. Like, what was the point of making those things?
Yeah, I don't get it.
So
bright
color.
Yeah, I even would have been okay if they were primary colors, but just dingy and, like, beaten up and stuff, you know?
Yeah, probably. I might have still had a problem with it, but...
For me, it still makes it kind of cartoonish, like, their characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at, like, the guy that I called Cyclops, like, his augmentation was just enormous and bulky and just weird looking. And like the multicolored bikes just kind of added another layer of cartoonishness to those characters.
Yeah, and I think they tried to play that off by him making a joke about keep an eye on him, and then he was like, sorry. And that's another thing. Boba Fett wouldn't apologize for that. He would take a shot at him intentionally and move on. But then the guy was like, no, it's fine. I like it. I paid for it. I like it. So
right.
Like trying to insinuate that he paid for it to be that bulky and like old.
Or he knew it was going to be that bulky. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't like I lost an eye in a gunfight or a knife fight. This was the only thing they had available. Like he's like, no, I picked this out of the case.
Yeah.
You know,
this one looked like the coolest thing to me. It's going to be 1980s. I was looking for something 1980s cyberpunk really. And this is what, caught my eye.
right. Yeah. Yeah, I would say, like, the other thing, like you said, like, the Boba Fett being feared and stuff, it just so far in this series, every time there's somebody who is a problem, he's just like, hey, you want to work for me? Like, he's not going after anybody except the water farmer.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm surprised he hasn't tried to hire the guy at the front desk of the mayor's office. Like not the major domo, but the, like, do you have an appointment guy? Like, hey, you seem to be able to handle a front desk pretty well. You ever thought about working in a sand temple?
where's he getting the money to pay these people though?
Like, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I mean, Boba had to have something in the temple maybe, or that Bib kept. But yeah, he is just throwing credits hand over fist at people.
Yeah, because you haven't seen a lot of people paying tribute.
Right, yeah. Maybe it's a pyramid scheme. It's just all built on lies.
Yeah.
Like he's like, your money's coming. Your credits are coming.
That's what.
Meanwhile, I've got do what?
I said, yeah, that's what organized crime is. You just described what it is.
That's true. That's true.
Not a surprise to anyone.
Yeah, no, that is true. But yeah, The one thing, so like he obviously was hijacked by Kersantan in the pleasure bath, but he he seems very Lady Bathory to me, that he's always bathing. I'm like, oh my God, show him sitting on the throne more than once. But he was hijacked, I get it, kind of like, you know, hornswoggled, if you will. But man, he got routed. Like, I mean, the Wookiee just beat him senseless. He just threw him around the room, dripping wet in his adult diaper. And I was like, I expect Boba Fett to at least be able to, like, I don't know, like, stunt roll out of the way of a couple of those or something, you know?
Well, so I would have liked to have seen, like, the expanded universe version of Boba Fett in his armor, taking on the Wookiee. I think that would have been a much better fight. I think Kersantan right. still won. But what kind of confused me at the end, based on his, like, how he's handled everything so far, is when he let Kersantan go, which I got, because he was a bounty hunter and he knows that, you know, he's not.
Right, yeah, it's just a job. Guy.
And then Kersantan is like super confused when he's looking, when he's watching him, and he's walking away. But why not hire him?
Right, yeah. You've hired literally everybody else.
Yeah, and then he's got this huge enforcer that is unbeatable. And I don't know. I just thought it was, that part of it stood out to me as not in character for what they've established for the last three episodes. But
That is true. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, he could have just hired him.
Yep.
I mean, you know what? Fire the Vespa, the, you know, crew.
We got to keep around the plucky gang.
I know, but the four of them still didn't beat the Wookiee in a fight. Like, it was like a draw at best.
Right. But you need the Vespa gang for cannon fodder. Like, keep those guys shooting at them, because there's a bunch of them.
That's true, yeah.
And then the other three.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they've got it's the Robin thing. Their suit's bright colors so that everybody focuses on them and not Batman. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, the Wookiee seems badass, but also I was at a certain point, I'm like, oh dude, you're just throwing granddad around a room. Calm down. like Jesus.
He was sent to kill him. So
he was, but yeah, I mean, it's like watching a cat with like a mouse. I'm like, just fucking eat it already. Stop batting it around and torturing it.
Like, and I'm pretty sure that Kersantan would have taken the carcass back to the hut, so it would have been like the cat.
Right? Yeah, it dropped it at their feet.
Yeah.
Oh, he's brought me a present.
All pleased with himself.
Yeah. Speaking of, do you think there's any chance of him becoming a cannibal now? Because he bit that pig, man, and like they gotta taste like pork, right? Like...
Well, that wouldn't be cannibal. I mean, a Wookiee can eat anything other than a Wookiee, and he's not a cannibal.
But if we go by, like, a lot of fantasy genres tend to say if something is sentient and you eat it, then you're cannibalizing. You're a cannibal.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, it's just because you have an insatiable hunger for chimpanzee, right? you can't get enough.
I started to say for dog. My wife doesn't wish that would upset her.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that either.
Really? I mean, that's just how it is in like D&D. I don't know. I haven't really read on too many on the Star Wars role playing game, but like, yeah, in Dungeons and Dragons and things like that, they expand the definition of cannibalism to be anything sentient that you eat. So, you know, like a lot of dragons are cannibals because they eat humans and elves and, you know, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time aligning a dragon with cannibalism for eating humans, because that's what dragons should do.
Well, I'm not saying they shouldn't. I mean, even watching Silence of the Lambs, like, I'm like, it's obviously wrong, but I get it. You know? But yeah, that's what I was just wondering, like, did this awaken a taste for Gamorrean in the Wookiee, you think?
No, I can see, that character out on in the desert. With a Gamorrean on a spit, I can see that as like a normal activity. That's not good for him.
With one of those like space melons in his mouth. Their skin is green, though. I don't know if I could eat. I mean, they do look like the pigs from Angry Birds. Yeah, I don't know if I could eat that.
Just skin it first. You're fine.
Skin it first? Yeah. So are you saying it's all pink on the inside, or?
Probably. I think it would be.
Okay.
I think
it would be. Okay, yeah.
If they have the same kind of blood as it.
I was going to say, is that a Star Wars saying? Because I've heard that before.
What saying?
It's all pink on the inside.
Yeah, you've heard that before, for sure. The circles you run in, you've definitely heard that before.
The circles I run in. Oh, shit. Oh, man. So is there anything else that we want to talk about? I will fully admit, this episode to me, it had some cool action beats, but overall it felt like it slowed down a little bit from the last episode.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I thought this episode was better. I didn't notice that the action slowed down. The one thing that I want to thank Zach for this episode is now that I can't look at 8B8 without noticing what he was talking about with the CG. So,
yeah, because we did get a lot more 88 in this one, right?
Yeah, yeah. But the more that character interacts with people, the more it's distinctly Matt Berry. Like, you can hear,
yeah, absolutely.
And he's got a little more of his Matt Berry inflection.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Matt Berry, I think, is a new DC series coming out.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, we have another character named Mary, but nothing, we can't sell shit except Batman, so just throw Bat in front of her name. We're physically incapable of trying to support any character that doesn't have Bat in their name. Gotcha, Warner Brothers, you piece of shit. Anyway.
Wow.
I'm tired of seeing Batman. Give me something else, man.
Yeah, me too. Me too. We do have Peacemaker now.
We do! Peacemaker's out. We're going to talk about that, Zach and I, in another episode. So, yeah. So check that out, kiddies, if you want to hear what we thought about the intro of Peacemaker. So, but yeah, I'm with you, though. Like, you can tell, like, he's getting more of the, they're giving Matt Berry a little bit more time to shine in with his comedic timing and things, even though he's just doing voice work.
Yeah.
But I like the whole, when he goes, he basically Voldemorted Jabba by going, like, he who should not be named, you know? He's like, you can say his name. And he's like, well, I didn't want to. And he's like, why? He goes, I thought I might offend you. And he's like, why? He's like, because you're concerned or you're scared or something. And he was like, well, now I am offended. I thought that was just a good scene, man. That was just a good yeah, interplay between those two. I am weird. I teeter because part of me likes Boba to keep the helmet on and be silent and stoic. But yep, part of me likes seeing that kind of interaction where he's just a normal guy who happens to be good at his job. Some might say.
Yep.
Many of us who think that he's dumb lucking his way through it still. But, But to see the human interaction or, you know, interaction with this droid who is kind of like, you know, overstepped his bounds and he's just like not immediately angry and like, you know, shooting at him or anything, but he's just like, well, now I am offended. Like, it's just a very human moment. I like that. I thought that was good.
Part of me like really wants that droid to like sort of resemble Matt Berry in a little way. You know?
Yeah, I think that would have been awesome.
It would have been like really out of place, but I think I would have loved it.
Yeah, yeah. If anybody listening hasn't watched What We Do in the Shadows, the television show, check it out. It's funny as shit, man.
Yeah, you're really doing yourself a disservice if you haven't seen that.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I still was into this episode. I liked it. I like I said, it just the talk of like when they were like, well, the Trandoshans run this part of the city. And I was like, oh my God, like do something. Like they were just talking. And I was like, I mean, I know you need some of that, but I was worried because a lot of these shows and a lot of the Marvel shows are the same way, but a lot of these shows tend to be like, hey, remember that, you know, they get the member berries going where it's like, remember the Rancor? Oh yeah, he was in that pit. You know, and so I'm worried whenever I see them talk too much about like political leanings that like they're going to go, remember the prequels? And I'm going to go, I really would rather not. Thanks.
Well, I mean, the more we talk about this, the more I'm thinking maybe like there's three different factions that are controlling. Is it three? Mos Espa? And
Yeah.
Maybe, so.
Maybe like the next three or I guess there's three or four episodes left. There's four episodes left. So maybe the next three episodes or the last three episodes are them going through and systematically cleaning up each area and winning it or something. I don't know. But
oh, right on. Yeah, maybe. I could see that.
And then, but I would really like the next four episodes to be much more action packed and much more real Boba Fett and back to tank Boba.
Yeah, same here. Same here. So, do you think? Are you still leaning, Tim? Or are you leaning? I guess not still, but are you leaning that we might get a big surprise reveal like we did in the last season of The Mandalorian at the end of the season, like a fan favorite coming back or something?
I don't know if they would do that in the first season of this, since it's such establishment. I think their big reveal was Chrisant, Black Chrisant.
Okay. You think he's probably the big like holy shit, beloved character.
Yep.
You know.
I think that's what, okay. What we're doing. I may be wrong. I mean, what do we have? 5 live action series that are going to be out by the end of the year. So
yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Jesus.
Maybe there's. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited about that. Okay. The more Star Wars I can get, the better. But I hadn't really thought about it actually, but you might be right. They might be introducing somebody else to move into one of these other series. But I can see one or two characters being introduced for the other shows as time goes on. But maybe in just like bit parts. But I think Black Crescent.
Gotcha.
My gut feeling is Black Crescent was that reveal.
Gotcha. Okay. That's fair. Yeah, I'm not sure either, because I know they didn't really do... They did a bit of a reveal in the first season of The Mandalorian, so spoilers for that if you haven't seen it, with the Darksaber, you know? But that was more an item, less of a person coming in and being like, holy shit, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, so I don't... yeah, I don't know. I teeter back and forth. Like, I'm like... I feel like the Chrysanthemum stuff, I feel like gives this a shot in the arm that it otherwise wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they're going to try to do it again with another character, or maybe they'll just keep bringing him back, you know, like maybe they'll be somewhere. And because Boba let him go, he like jumps in and saves the day or something, you know?
I'm kind of hoping that they brought Black Chrysanthemum in to set up for a Dr. Aphra TV show.
Now explain who that is.
So Dr. Aphra is this, she's kind of like a mercenary type person that Darth Vader hired in the comic book. And she is pretty vicious and she's a psychopath. And Black Crescent worked for her. And she's got this droid that is this doomsday droid that is referenced. It's been referenced in other properties. And, then they spun her off into her own comic book because now Darth Vader's trying to kill her because she double crossed him. Which that's kind of her thing.
Oh, okay.
She double crosses people. But I'm really hoping that there's a spinoff from, or not a spinoff, but another live action property that they're going to do. And I think didn't they announce this week that there's a Han Solo and Chewie show that they're going to start? Soon.
Oh, did they? I don't know if I saw that. I'll have to look that up before we record the news in the next episode.
So I read that a couple different places. I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's been verified, but
right.
Yeah, Daenerys Stormborn got a contract for a live action show.
And I did see that, yeah.
So that was released the day before the Han and Chewie was released. So there was all this speculation. Is it going to be, like in the comic books recently, her character from Solo has stolen Han and Carbonite? Because the comic books right now are taking place between Empire and Return of the Jedi. So she's stolen his body as him and Carbonite. And that's as far as I've gotten so far, but. So there was all the speculation, what timeline is it going to be? You know, the different characters can come back in. And then the next day, that was all kind of shut down because she's obviously going to be part of the Han Jewish show. So I don't know how far along that is in planning, or if it's just talk, or if it's just a rumor. But.
So do you think they're going to bring Alden Breitenreich, or whatever his name is, back?
I don't know. honestly, I would love to see, I can't remember the kid's name. We're probably not a kid now, but the movie Age of Adeline, Harrison Ford was in that, and it did a flashback to his, to when he was young. And there was this, I wish I could remember the kid's name. Anyway, the actor that was in that playing the young Harrison Ford was spot on Harrison Ford. And then after that, he did like a bunch of Han Solo impressions, which, and they're out on YouTube. I'll find the guy's name for the next episode. But
I was gonna say, I'm trying to look it up now real quick too.
Yeah, you'll find it pretty easily. But yeah, he did these impressions of Han Solo from the first film that are dead on, the cantina scene.
Really?
I would love to see him, like, any like, I think there's pictures of him dressed up in a Han Solo costume, and I think that's who they need to cast for that.
All right. Well, anything else? Anything else about this episode of Boba Fett?
Not for me.
Yeah,
not for me. I'm just sort of lukewarm on it still.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yep. Yeah. Lukewarm is not a bad place for you to be, though, Zach, on this show, because I know you audibly groaned every time I mentioned it heading into it starting. Yeah. So lukewarm, I count that as at least a somewhat of a win.
I was just going to say, I'm still looking forward to a more badass Boba Fett. If I get that, I'll be happy with the series.
Yeah, no, I don't really got much else to say. I'm still digging it. You know, like I said, I like the action beats in this one. Overall, though, the tone felt a little slower, but I get that. You need exposition, especially in a season one of anything. So, you know, and if it was just straight wall-to-wall action, I wouldn't be happy with that. So maybe I'm just in a weird place where I'm still trying to find my comfort level with the show, you know. But no, I think it's good. I'm still into it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I mean, obviously, I have a lot of criticism of it, but I'm still on board.
Right on. Awesome. Well, cool. I can't think of anything else, so I guess until next week, thanks for joining us again, Tim.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hopefully, we'll continue to have Boba Fett stuff to chat about in the coming weeks, so hopefully they don't just kill him off in the next episode.
And then just give the show to Black Crescent.
Yeah. It's him and Finnick Shan and their blooming romance. Hey, dude, as a heavy, hairy guy, the thought that Ming-Na Wen could love somebody like that gives me hope. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's a good note to end on. I guess I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Later.
See ya.
Grading the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.